हरे कृष्णा। कल्टीवेटिंग ह्यूमिलिटी डजंट मीन कोर्टिंग डिसऑनर। समटाइम्स सम पीपल थिंक दैट इफ आई हैव टू बिकम हम्बल देन आई विल बी डिसऑनर्ड बाय एवरीवन। एंड समटाइम्स सम पीपल मे इवन थिंक दैट बीइंग डिसऑनर्ड बाय अदर्स आई विल बिकम हम्बल। हाउएवर this is a misunderstanding, and you can see this from the Bhagavad Gita itself. The Bhagavad Gita in its 13th chapter, when it lists the 20 virtues of the knowledgeable, it starts that list by describing humility, amanitvam, in 13.8. so it acknowledges the importance of humility. But the same Bhagavad Gita has earlier talked about the importance of honor, and in fact was used the distress from dishonor as an impetus in its reasoning. In the second chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, warns him that if you abandon duty, you will be dishonored. In 2.34, Krishna says, akirtim chapi bhutani kathayishyanti te avyayam sambhavitasya chakirtir maranadatirichyate. So Krishna says that, oh Arjuna, if you give up your duty, then you will court infamy, akirti. And Krishna, in one sense, poetically exaggerates that the disaster that will happen because of dishonor, the distress that will come by dishonor, by saying that people will gossip about this dishonor, that this great warrior fled from the battle in fear. Says kathayishyanti te avyayam, for time immemorial they will talk about this dishonor. And sambhavitasya cha kirtir maranadatir ichyate, for one who has been honored, dishonor will be worse than death. Worse than death, Krishna says. So it will hurt you more than death itself. So even if you succumb to the arrows of the opponent and die a painful death, that pain will not be as much as the pain of suffering the arrow-like words of disdain and dishonor that will come from your enemies if you abandon your duty. So basically the Bhagavad Gita is concerned about honor. Now, isn't it that if we want to be humble, then becoming dishonored will help us to become humble? No, not exactly. Because the essence of humility, if you want to cultivate humility, that doesn't come merely by being disrespected by others externally. It comes by choosing internally to become detached from external respect. And that choice is possible when we gain inner fulfillment, by living a life of principles, by living a life of honor, honor in the sense of honoring principles. So, now, to understand this better, let's try to see what is the central message of the Gita. The central message is neither humility nor honor. It is dutifulness. And not just any ordinary material, worldly dutifulness, but extraordinary transcendental dutifulness, wherein one is devoted to Krishna, the service of Krishna, and through Krishna to the service of all living beings. Such a devotional service is actually our innate eternal nature, because we are not physical bodies, we are spiritual souls who are parts of Krishna. And by such devotional dutifulness, we attain spiritual love for Krishna, which alone grants lasting fulfillment. So, the ultimate purpose of life and the supreme message of the Gita is this devotional dutifulness for developing selfless spiritual love for Krishna. And both humility and honor are meant to help us in this devotional dutifulness. When we are humble, then we make decisions based on not what is praised as good by others, but what is actually deemed as good by scripture. And in this way, we act according to scripture, and we can be dutiful when we are humble. Similarly, when we cultivate a sense of honor, then we act based on the sense of honor enables us to stick to duty even when that duty is difficult. So, how does that happen? Because in a culture society, dutifulness, responsibility is honored, and irresponsibility is dishonored. So, as is happening in the case of Arjuna over here, he's being told that if you abandon your duty, if you become irresponsible, you will be dishonored, and therefore you should do your duty. So, same way, the consideration of dishonor is an additional spur for those with a sense of honor to stick to their duty. Now, it's important to differentiate between honor and pride. To understand this difference better, we can use a different word for pride. We can use the word arrogance. So, the arrogant live for praise. Whatever will be praised, they will do that, and they have no values as such, except seeing value in whatever will bring them praise. So, that is arrogance. They are self-righteous, they are self-congratulatory, they are self-centered. But in contrast, the honorable live for duty. And they have a sense of dutifulness. And if I have, this is my duty, this is the expectation from me, I will do it. It is my word of honor, I will do it. So, that sense of honor enables them to stick to their duty. So they live for duty, and the fact that they will be honored, dishonored if they don't do their duty acts as an additional spur for them to stick to their duty. So now when we understand that both humility and honor are meant to spur us on the path of duty, then we can see how humility and honor don't have to be contradictory. Rather, they can coexist, and they can even be synergistic. So, when we decide to live a life of honor, then at that time, trying to live that way helps us realize, it forces us to acknowledge how weak and vulnerable we are, that we can't live according to the principles by our own means. We recognize that we need divine help. We need Krishna. And that feeling of neediness for Krishna is the heart of humility. Humility's heart is not just that we don't seek respect in the world, but that we turn inwards and seek Krishna. So in this way, by a synergy of humility and honor, we can march steadily towards our spiritual destiny. That is, attaining eternal love and happiness with Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.